Track 1.1. Unit 1. Reading 1. The Rise of Crowdfunding. Journalist Sarah Finch interviews the economist Thomas Kerr about the rise of crowdfunding and how to run a successful campaign.
1.
Crowdfunding allows entrepreneurs to bypass venture capital companies and reach a large number of potential investors online, where geography no longer matters. However, it's worth considering what level of investment you need. Last year, crowdfunding raised $4 billion for entrepreneurs in the U.S., yet venture capital firms invested over $60 billion. So, while crowdfunding may be an attractive option, investment from venture capitalists is still much higher. The latter is certainly something I'd recommend to entrepreneurs with large projects or those who need expertise and support to help get their project off the ground.
Let's imagine I decide to go down the crowdfunding route. 2.
Firstly, you need to be realistic about how much money people will be willing to invest in your project. Kickstarter, one of the best-known crowdfunding sites, says that of the total projects that have been successfully funded on the site to date, 69% have raised less than $10,000. Only 3% of projects have raised over $100,000. And just 0.2% have raised $1 million. That suggests crowdfunding is more appropriate for smaller projects than large companies, even if it's the latter that get more attention in the media. It's also important to consider that Kickstarter campaigns currently have around a 35% success rate, meaning that 65% of projects fail to get the funding they need.
3.
Research has shown that when it comes to more traditional types of investment, perception of quality is highly significant as investors use it to predict how much of a return they may get on their investment. Research carried out by Malik at the University of Pennsylvania has indicated that the same is true of crowdfunding projects. Those that were perceived to be of a higher quality were far more likely to hit their investment goals. Successful campaigns were also aided by videos explaining the product and frequent updates, particularly in the early stages. In fact, for many projects, a well-produced video pitch is a necessity. For example, I recently saw a campaign for a product called Flick, a small button in your house that allows you to wirelessly control apps on your phone. Now, read or hear that description, and it means very little. But watch the video, and within the first 10 seconds, you know exactly what it is and how it can benefit you. Of course, it's important to remember that not all campaigns involve startups. Existing entrepreneurs have been known to turn to crowdfunding to get funding for new ideas. There are notable examples in gaming where designers wanted to pursue passion projects that publishers didn't want to make. There are also experienced scientists looking to fund research.
4.
Malik found that spelling errors, asking for too much investment, and having too long a deadline gave the perception that the project was low in quality, and this reduced the success rate. However, it's not just quality that has an impact. Several studies have shown that without an effective network, an entrepreneur is likely to be unsuccessful in his or her campaign. This is true whether you're seeking venture capital or crowdfunding. With the latter, it's your social online network that can make the difference. 30% of a crowdfunding campaign's investment comes from friends and family, showing just how vital they are. They start off the bidding and then tell others about it. If you don't know enough people to do that for you, your campaign won't develop much momentum.
5.
There are 4 types of campaigns, not all of them offering a tangible benefit. Lending-based campaigns and donation-based campaigns are more philanthropic, especially the latter, where the money goes towards scientific research or humanitarian projects. Equity-based campaigns, where investors get a share of the company in return for their investment, And reward-based campaigns are those which offer tangible rewards. The latter are the most common type and generally offer the investor a copy of the product they've backed or the opportunity to consume it, for example, to see the film that was produced. Researchers from the University of North Carolina have found that offering different tiers of rewards also helps to attract funding. Tiers give people the opportunity to decide how much money to invest and what they'd like to receive in exchange. For example, backers at higher tiers often receive limited editions of the product or promotional merchandise. Interestingly, a study in Asia found that people motivated by helping others tended to invest early, whereas those motivated by the promise of reward were late investors. So adding late rewards in the final days of the campaign can help projects get across that investment goal line.
6.
With a keep-it-all model, entrepreneurs keep any money invested, even if the target investment isn't reached. Although this sounds more beneficial to the entrepreneur, these campaigns are perceived as riskier and tend to be less successful as a result. Backers invest on the understanding that if the project doesn't reach its target, the product may never be made and they will lose their money. All-or-nothing campaigns are perceived as less risky as investors know that if the campaign doesn't achieve its target, they get their money back. I say that it's worth selecting the keep-it-all model for small projects, but I would definitely recommend the all-or-nothing model for larger projects that are looking for greater investment.